Good morning. Today's message is taken from Luke chapter 4, verses 38 to 44. I decided to entitle it Jesus' Ministry in Capernaum. My last two messages in April and May were also from Luke chapter 4. And if you read the whole chapter, you will find that the accounts of the Lord's temptations by Satan in the wilderness and his ministries in Nazareth and Capernaum are actually linked in time sequence. Luke chapter 4, verses 38 to 44, our sermon text, is about the Lord's healing miracles and exorcisms of people possessed by evil spirits in Capernaum. These passages reminds us that our Lord Jesus is not only God, but he is also our great physician. He could heal without doing any history taking, without physical examination or investigations, and without any prescription of any medications. He knew what was wrong with the patient even before his or her presentation. And in fact, he knew it long before the birth of this particular patient. His healing was instant. The patient received instant restoration of health and energy. No rehabilitation needed. The Lord is still our great physician, and he's not like the doctors that we know. Indeed, the Lord Jesus has authority and power over diseases and healing, and over the evil spirits. Before I give this message, let us review the events preceding Luke chapter 4, verses 38 to 44, so that we have a better understanding of today's message. After the Lord Jesus had overcome Satan's temptation, in verses 1 to 13, filled with the Holy Spirit, he went teaching, preaching, and performed miraculous and mighty works throughout Galilee, Judea, and Samaria. He became famous and became a celebrity. As a hometown boy, his fame placed Nazareth on the map. In Luke chapter 4, verses 14 to 30, the Lord went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom, and he preached from the book of Isaiah based on chapters 58 and 61. His teaching initially impressed the congregation in the Nazareth synagogue. However, that feeling did not last long, and they rejected him. The congregation in this Nazareth synagogue wanted proofs from the Lord. The Lord did not consent because all he wanted from them was trust in him. The men of Nazareth would not accept his message, also because the preacher, the Lord Jesus, was a local and lived amongst them since young, and they were familiar with him. It was an example of familiarity breeds contempt. Therefore, in anger, they expelled the Lord from the synagogue, intending to kill him by pushing him over a cliff outside the town. The Lord escaped, and so he went to Capernaum, a city by the northwestern shore of the Sea of Galilee. It was in Capernaum that the Lord Jesus recruited Simon, later called Peter, his brother Andrew, and the sons of Zebedee, James and John. Rejected in Nazareth, the Lord was accepted in Capernaum. Luke chapter 4, verses 31 to 37 describes his ministry in Capernaum. As was his custom, he preached and taught in the synagogue on many Sabbath days, and the congregation was impressed by his authority and power in teaching. There was never a preacher like him. He preached with grace and conviction. They were astonished at his doctrine according to Luke chapter 4 verse 32. In other words, they were struck with amazement. They were even more surprised of his authority and power over an evil spirit when the Lord exorcised a man in the same synagogue who was possessed by one. The departing evil spirit threw the man violently in the midst of the synagogue without causing any harm. After the synagogue's Sabbath service, and after the Aaronic benediction, the Lord Jesus left. We come now to our text for today, which is Luke chapter 4, verses 38 to 44. For this message, I would like to cover the following main points. Firstly, Jesus' ministry in healing of Simon's mother-in-law in verses 38 to 39. Secondly, Jesus' ministry in healing of the city people in verses 40 and 41. And finally, the third main point, Jesus' ministry in prayer and preaching the gospel in verses 42 to 44. Let us begin with the first main point, Jesus' ministry in healing of Simon's mother-in-law. Let us read together Luke chapter 4, verses 38 to 39. Let us read. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Amen. On every Sabbath day, and in any city he was in, the Lord Jesus attended worship at the synagogue, as his custom was, according to verse 16. An important reminder for us to be physically, I stress physically, to worship God on the Lord's Day regularly, whether here or wherever you are. On this particular Sabbath day, our Lord was accompanied by his newfound, soon-to-be disciples, Simon and Andrew, James and John. It was customary for the synagogue to have a mid-morning service, followed by the Sabbath meal right at the sixth hour, that is at noon. Just like us, when we have our regular fellowship lunch after worship. After the synagogue service, the Lord, in verse 38, the first part of verse 38, arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. Simon, not called Peter at this time, together with his brother Andrew, invited the Lord Jesus, as well as James and John, in Mark chapter 1, verse 29, to his house for a post-Sabbath service meal. But his other intention was for the Lord to see his mother-in-law, who had been ill and unable to attend the synagogue service that day. Simon must have asked the Lord to have a look at her. Luke did not reveal to us her name. He could have been Mary, Miriam, Tamara, or Ruth, which were common names in that era. The Holy Spirit, for some good reason, had not revealed her name. Luke, the physician, reveals that in the second part of verse 38, Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever. Literally, Simon's mother-in-law was seized by a great fever. Luke did not reveal the cause of this great fever. It could have been influenza, or it could be septicemia, or even one of those infectious diseases like typhoid fever or malaria. In those days, her sickness could be deadly. Whatever it was, she was very sick and shivering and feeling very cold. She was not dying, but she probably thought she was. She was not able to prepare the Sabbath meal, or she had the meal prepared, but was not able to serve it to her family and guests. Most likely, And she was feeling very cold and shivery and very weak. All she would ask was for more blankets to cover her. Instead of keeping her warm with these piles of blankets, she was getting colder and more shivery and sick. Seeing the distressing predicament of Simon's mother-in-law, in Luke chapter 4, verse 38, the third part, they besought him for her. Do not the word they. There were others living in the same house, most likely an extended family. In Mark chapter 1, verse 29, it was revealed that the house belonged to both Simon and Andrew. Therefore, Simon and his wife, their children, Andrew and others who lived in the house appealed to the Lord to help this poor, suffering woman. They besought the Lord, meaning they begged him to heal Simon's wife's mother. They pleaded on her behalf. The Lord complied. Verse 39, and he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Let us read parallel verses in Matthew and Mark and harmonize these three accounts. Matthew 8, chapter 5, Matthew 8, verse 15. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. Mark chapter 1, verse 31. Mark chapter 1, verse 31. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. Amen. Luke described the Lord Jesus in the first part of verse 39, stood over her and rebuked the fever. The Lord, on being informed of her illness, immediately came to her where she was lying, covered with many blankets, many layers of blankets. He stood over her. This expression does not mean the Lord stood on her. This would crush her. Just like when a grandmother says she is babysitting, right? It does not mean that she'll be sitting on the baby, but just helping to care for that baby when the parents go somewhere else. So when the Lord stood over her, it means that he stood by her side and bent forward to her. Then the Lord touched her hand in Matthew chapter 8, verse 15, and rebuked the fever in Luke chapter 4, verse 39. The Lord touched her hand. Is there any significance to this? This touching signified communication, reassurance, and empathy by the Lord, and an expression of his intention to cure her. The Lord rebuked the fever. The Greek word used here for rebuke was the same one used by the Lord Jesus when he commanded the evil spirit to leave the man in the synagogue in verse 35, and when he rebuked the winds and sea in Matthew chapter 8, verse 27. So rebuke means to censure or to admonish. Only Luke's gospel uses this word. To use rebuke here means that the Lord has authority and power over all diseases and over the elements. After rebuking the fever, in Mark chapter 1, verse 31, he took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her. The Lord then helped to sit her up from a lying position by taking her hand and then raised her up. What happened next was even a miracle. Luke revealed that in verse 39, the second part of verse 39, immediately she arose and ministered unto them. All three Gospels said she arose and ministered unto them. But Luke and Mark added immediately. One moment this woman was sick and lying helpless. The next moment, she was moving about like she had never been sick, and cheerfully preparing and serving the meals. Everyone was in amazement. The guests were probably looking at Simon's mother-in-law and amazed at what he had just accomplished for her. They were probably saying within themselves, "Who is he? Even the illness left at his rebuke." They were really impressed by the Lord Jesus' authority and power to perform healing on Simon's wife's mother. The healing of Simon's mother-in-law has been quick, instantaneous, and complete. When we are recovering from illness, it takes time to regain our strength. Our recuperation may take days, weeks, or months, and sometimes even years. For Simon's mother-in-law, the healing, recovery, and recuperation were at an instant. The account of the healing of Simon's mother-in-law has important lessons for us. When we are in trouble or suffering from an illness or in a calamity, our first resort must be to the Lord Jesus. In this case, the close relatives and friends of Simon's wife did in verse 38. It is important and interesting to note that others can and should ask the Lord Jesus to come to heal the sicknesses of a relative, friend, or someone else. From this example, we must therefore be mindful to pray for others, for their healing and health. Of course, we must seek help from doctors for our illnesses. We must seek lawyers to be accessed for any property or character defense, or counselors for our other problems. Our first action, however, must be to pray to the Lord Jesus for help. Only the Lord Jesus can effect an instant cure for all our ailments, whether physical, emotional, or spiritual. Only if we have faith in Him and according to His will. It shows His authority and power to perform healing. Simon's mother-in-law responded with immediate service. Her immediate reaction was to do something for the Lord Jesus. She was so thankful. This is exactly as it should be for us too. When the Lord Jesus blesses us, we want to bless Him and give our best back to Him. To each of us in this assembly who professes faith in the Lord Jesus, who tells the world that he or she is a Christian, and who comes to worship God every Lord's Day, I would like to ask, are you grateful to the Lord? Do you serve Him? What have you done since you came to the Lord, or even since the last sermon? Have you done your very best for Him? Do you know what is the greatest motivation for Christian service? I will tell you. The greatest motivation for Christian service is always gratitude. Those who are truly grateful for all they have done from God, for all they have from God, are those who are quickest and most generous in serving and giving. So I ask you, are you truly grateful to God? After leaving the Capernaum synagogue, the Lord went to the house of Simon and Andrew. In that house, he healed Simon's wife's mother. She was healed instantly and completely, and immediately got up to serve them. After they ate their meals, enjoyed the fellowship with the Lord Jesus, the day wore on, and the sun was about to set. The Lord was to perform more great things. He was to reveal His authority and power to perform healing on the city people of Capernaum. Now we come to the second main point, Jesus' ministry in healing of the city people. Let us read together Luke chapter 4, verses 40 and 41. Let us read. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with diverse diseases brought them unto him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. Amen. While the Lord was spending precious time in the house of Simon and Andrew with their families, and together with James and John, news about the Lord's exorcism in the synagogue quickly spread to every corner of the small city of Capernaum. No doubt the delivered man was joyous and spreading the news too. After the Sabbath was over at sundown, about 6 p.m., the Jews were once again allowed to get on with their burdens and normal day-to-day activities. They searched for the Lord. Some saw the Lord leaving the synagogue with Simon, Andrew, and two others. Others had seen him entering Simon's house. Their searches eventually led them to the house of Simon and Andrew. Soon, a large crowd was gathered at the door of Simon's and Andrew's house. In Luke chapter 4, verse 40, the first part, Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with diverse diseases brought them unto him. And Mark acts in chapter 1, verse 33, And all the city was gathered together at the door. The phrase, all day, in Luke chapter 4, verse 40, were actually all in the city, in Mark chapter 1, verse 33. The whole city was assembled at the front door of the house of Simon and Andrew. There must be a huge crowd waiting at the door of this small house, and the people were squeezed in the narrow streets and beyond. The residents in this small house must be taken aback by such a huge crowd. They have never seen anything like it. Not even the king of Galilee, Herod Antipas, could attract such a huge crowd. Luke said in the second part of verse 40, All day they had any sick with diverse diseases brought them unto him. The sick people in this city were brought to the Lord Jesus in joyous anticipation. They expected miraculous healings. Suffering masses were gathered at the door of Simon's and Andrew's house. Every type of disease was represented. Raging fevers, infections, degenerative diseases, cancer, strokes, vitamin and mineral deficiency, the blind, palsied and crippled. They were crying and groaning. Some needed to be carried to the Lord, who was probably seated by the entrance of the house or just inside the house. The night was fast approaching, and extra candles were lit so that people could see where they were going. The Lord spent hours caring for the sick without any break. And in the third part of verse 40, we read that he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. The healing was indiscriminate, complete, instant, and real. On this occasion, all who came to him, every one of them was healed. Not that Luke stressed the fact that he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. According to R. Ken Hughes, I paraphrase this one, The hands-on methods of healing was most unusual, as this practice was not known in the Old Testament and rabbinical literature. The Lord's method was radical and new, and was a symbol of His divine authority and power to perform healing on the sick and infirmed people. It also showed His communication, reassurance and empathy, and an expression of His intention to cure, just as He did to Simon's mother-in-law. The Lord provided His divine tenderness to the needy, and everyone was touched. Those who were healed could say that the Lord had touched them with a tenderness no other physician had ever done. In addition, there was no cost to them. That evening was one that all the people in this city of Capernaum would remember for a long time. All those who were healed would always remember that night. "Without that man Jesus, I would not be what I am today," they would say. However, while many people were healed of their physical sickness and mental illness, there was a hint of tragedy though. People will do all they can to get to Jesus the physician. They ask for prayers and healing. They will attend church services, study the Bible, and generous with their time and labor for God. They make all sorts of promises and want to be healed of their physical and mental ailments, but will hardly reach out to the Lord Jesus, the Redeemer, the Savior. Once they were healed, all their promises amount to nothing. They disappeared from church services. This is sad. Healing of physical and mental illness, yes. But healing of the soul, not enthusiastic. Quoting from Alexander McLaren, quoting, "Offer men the smaller gifts, and they will run over one another in their scramble for them. But offer them the highest, and they will scarcely hold out a languid hand to take them," unquote. It is so true. Call people to come for healing, and they will come. But call them to hear the gospel for spiritual healing and salvation, they will desist. While there were people who were physically and mentally sick, the Lord also encountered illnesses caused by evil spirits. Verse 41, "And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, 'Thou art Christ, the Son of God.' And He, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that He was Christ." The devils or demons that possessed the people cried out repeatedly, "Thou art Christ, the Son of God." The demons were not crawling to the Lord to seek His favors, nor were these their confessions. Instead, they were attempting to bring the Lord under their power. In my last message, I mentioned that in those days, there was a belief that by exactly knowing the other person's name, this would bring control over the individual. I hope you remember that. By crying out, "Thou art Christ, the Son of God," repeatedly, the evil spirits were trying to subdue the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. Their attempts were, of course, unsuccessful. The Lord instead, He, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak. He silenced them with a rebuke, just as He did with the unclean spirit in the synagogue earlier in the day, and in Simon's house, when He rebuked the fever of Simon's mother-in-law. Mark added in chapter 1, verse 34, "The Lord cast out many devils that evening." Matthew added in chapter 8, verse 16, that the Lord did the casting of devils with His word, just a word. No fancy rituals or demonstrations to impress or hocus pocus. This demonstrated the Lord Jesus' authority and power over demons, and they obeyed without a word. Those who were possessed by evil spirits were exorcised of them. What can we learn from this? What lessons can we derive from this? The Lord Jesus Christ has authority and power over sicknesses and as well as over demons. He rebuked the evil spirits and they departed from the unhappy people they possessed. Quoting from J.C. Rao, the bishop, the Anglican bishop of the 19th century, Christ Jesus is the true antidote and remedy for all the soul-ruining mischief which Satan has wrought on mankind, unquote. The Word of God teaches us that we are at war against a mighty enemy. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 reads, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Amen. The words principalities, powers, the rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places, remind us that we are facing a mighty enemy in which there is an advanced, vast, organized hierarchy. We face a great demonic enemy. We are not facing a weak, incompetent Satan and his network of demons that we can manipulate, make fun of, or ridicule at like we do at Halloween. We are facing a mighty organized personal evil and wicked beings. We should never, never underestimate these beings. Praise God. We have nothing to fear. All we need is the Lord Jesus. He had overcome Satan at Calvary's cross. He will confront the enemy, and his powerful word is all that is required for victory. He is God, and he is omnipresent, and he is omnipotent. Nothing can stand against the Lord Jesus and his kingdom. For the city people of Capernaum, the Lord Jesus performed miracles of healing of the sick and delivered people possessed by demons at the front door of the house of Simon and Andrew. Next, the Lord revealed his ministry in prayer and preaching. We now come to the final main point, Jesus' ministry in prayer and preaching the gospel. Let us read together Luke chapter 4, verses 42 to 44. "And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. And the people sought him, and came unto him, and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee." Amen. After the Lord's work in healing the sick of Capernaum, there was probably not a single sick person left. All the sick Capernaum people had been healed. All those possessed by evil spirits had been delivered. Of course, there would be a few who believed they were still healed even though they were healed. These were the hypochondriacs. Overnight, there were others who had spent their time celebrating their healing and their new health. Some who were healed of their paralysis would be walking everywhere in their city, testing their new legs like we went to test our new cars, you know. And there were those with skin diseases. They were caressing their smooth skin. And others with leprosy would be enjoying their freedom from their restrictions and seeing every part of their body fixed. Parents were in overjoy to see their children's sicknesses healed and their congenital abnormalities fixed. The people who were healed were rejoicing and partying. And their loved ones were so happy with what they saw. They were feeling great and healthy for the first time. Then we read in verse 42, And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. And the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him that he should not depart from them. Consider a parallel verse in Mark chapter 1, verses 35 to 36. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. Amen. The Lord must have worked most of the night and must be exhausted. However, the next day, very early in the morning, just before the sun arose, he left Capernaum and went to a desert place. Why did he go to the desert? Why did he not take a rest or have a sleep in? The Lord did not take a rest. He did not take a break from his hard work, nor did he take a day off to rest. Mark's gospel revealed that the Lord wanted to be alone and to pray. Instead of resting and going to sleep, the Lord chose to pray. When he reached a quiet place in the desert, he prayed. In Mark chapter 1, verse 36, we are told that Simon and they that were with him followed after him. This would include Andrew, James, and John. They learned firsthand what their master was doing, ministry of prayer. Their lives were to be a prayerful life. The people in Capernaum discovered that the Lord had left, and they did not want to lose him. So they sought him and came unto him and stayed him that he should not depart from them, according to the second part of verse 42. They pursued, found him, and attempted to ask him to stay and not to leave them. There was no records of threats or intended violence against him. With depraved minds and hearts, it would not be surprising that some might have considered that. However, they persuaded him, they begged him, please stay with us. Why should they not ask the Lord to remain with them? The Lord was a great physician, able to heal all diseases. He was a great exorcist, able to deliver possessed people from evil spirits. He was a great teacher and preacher, better than the Pharisees and scribes, whose teachings and preachings were dull and without authority and power. He could perform miracles. Miracles, yes. That was what they wanted. Why not ask him to stay? They would say, we will all be healthy all the time. Quoting from R. Ken Hughes, quoting, the prospect of a town where everyone, old and young alike, is healthy. What a thought. Unquote. They thought that if the Lord remained with them, they would all be healthy always. Even I like that too. The Lord's response was in verse 43. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. That response must have disappointed the people of Capernaum. They did not want to hear that at all. They really wanted the Lord all to themselves. The Lord told them that he was sent to preach the kingdom of God to other cities as well. His ministry to preach the gospel. He also added, for therefore am I sent, meaning the reason he was sent. The Lord mentioned the kingdom of God for the first time in this gospel of Luke. This will appear another 32 times in this gospel. When the Lord Jesus said, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent, what does he mean? The Lord declared that he came to earth to be a preacher and a teacher. His ministry was that he was sent to preach the gospel, to bring repentance and salvation to the lost souls. Quoting from J.C. Rao, He came to fulfill the prophetic office to be the prophet greater than Moses, who had been so long foretold in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. One principal part of his work on earth was to publish glad tidings, to offer healing to the brokenhearted, light to them that sat in darkness, and pardon to the chief of sinners, unquote. Until he was sacrificed for our sins, his work was to preach. Reluctantly, the people of Capernaum accepted that the Lord had to leave. This must be a very sad occasion. The joy of the night before had turned to sadness and grief. They had lost a miracle man who could have kept them all sickness-free from demon possession and even from physical death. Verse 44 reveals what happened to the Lord, and he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. So the Lord continued on his way to preach in the synagogues of Galilee. Of course, he proceeded later to preach in Judea and Samaria as well. What lessons can we learn from these passages, verses 42 to 44, about prayer? The Lord Jesus showed his disciples and us an example of the importance of private prayer, as in Mark chapter 1, verse 35. It was his habit to do so in Matthew chapter 14, verse 23, and Luke chapter 3, verse 21. This also suggests to us the importance of prayer before and after any activity, even in the workplace. Do we pray before and after any work, study, gathering, driving, meeting, sleep, etc.? If not, we should take this as a good example from the Lord himself and to start to develop this habit. Even though he was sinless and perfect, even though he was God and man, quoting from J.C. Ryle, he was an example of diligent communion with his Father. His Godhead did not render him independent of the use of means as a man. His very perfection was the perfection kept up through the exercise of prayer. His nature was kept sinless in the regular use of the means of grace and not in the neglect of them, unquote. Even though the Lord himself is God, he still prays to God, his Father. This example is for all those who desire to grow in grace and walk closely with God. Time must be set aside for private prayer and meditation and to be alone with God. We must not just be contented with regular prayers, reading of the Word, to hear the Gospel, and partaking in the Lord's Supper. But we must set aside time for private self-examination and reflection on matters of God. We must imitate our Master the Lord in prayer and private communion with God. Remember that, I'm quoting from J.C. Ryle, quoting, "A praying Master and Lord Jesus can have no prayerless servants." Prayerless servants. To be prayerless is to be Christless, godless, and on the road to destruction. The spiritually careless are inevitably prayerless. Spiritual stature is measured by powerfulness before God, unquote. About preaching. Many people complain and make foolish comments against preaching. There are people who started to fall asleep or their minds wandered off at the moment preaching starts. I hope you don't sleep with my preaching. Some say that preaching is not an important part of worship. However, the Lord Jesus' announcement in verse 43 should silence them. Preaching of God's word is very important. And I repeat, preaching of God's word is very important. That is why our pulpit is situated in the center and is raised up to demonstrate the importance of preaching of God's word. The Lord's preaching should satisfy us about that importance. is far more important than saying public prayers and administering the sacraments. Not that the Lord never baptized anyone. John chapter 4 verse 2 reads, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. The Lord attached great importance on preaching during his earthly ministry. It is God's method through the ages, and I'm quoting from J.C. Ryle, for the awakening of sinners and the edifying of saints, unquote. As the Lord attached great importance on preaching, it is our duty to hear sermons, as J.C. Ryle puts it, quoting, in a prayerful and reverent frame of mind, unquote. It is through preaching that sinners are awakened from their spiritual deadness to salvation, and inquirers are led on, and saints are built up in the faith, growing closer to God. Those who scoff at and ridicule the preaching of God's word, I must say, beware. By their actions, they are mocking the very work of Christ Jesus himself. The Lord Jesus taught his disciples and asked the importance of prayer, and also the people of Capernaum about his work in preaching the kingdom of God, and hence the importance of preaching. After the Sabbath service, the Lord, accompanied by his newfound disciples, left the Capernaum synagogue and went to the house of Simon and Andrew. There he healed Simon's wife's mother of a raging Greek fever. She was healed and her health was restored instantly. She was able to minister to the Lord and her family. This healing demonstrates the Lord's authority and power over diseases. Then after the Sabbath was over, all the sick and those possessed by evil spirits were brought to the doorstep of Simon's and Andrew's house, and the Lord healed them. The Lord showed his authority and power not only over diseases but also over demons. Then the Lord went to a solitary place in the desert for quietness and prayer. The Lord Jesus showed his disciples and us an example of the importance of private prayer. The Lord declared to the people of Capernaum that he came to earth to be a preacher and a teacher. He was sent to preach the gospel, to bring repentance and salvation to the lost souls. He declared the importance of preaching of God's word. May this message on the Lord's ministry in Capernaum be a blessing to you all. Amen. Let us pray.